Hello, 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 What the Word Says family, and welcome to this amazing Bible study session tonight. And it is brought to you by What the Word Says on our Triumph platform. And Triumph is the platform where we are going to be broadcasting all of our Bible studies from. Well, my name is Lorianne, and I know for Bible studies, you're all probably really used to seeing my husband dissecting, you know, the word of truth, rightfully dividing the word of truth. And I'm really grateful to be here and have this opportunity to also take us through an amazing Bible study tonight, even though that's his department. But you know, we're going to be exploring some amazing truths from the word of God concerning one of the biggest things in our Christian life. I would like to call it, you know, the principles or foundational principles of Christian life. But truly, what the topic is all about is more than foundational principles. It is the life of a Christian. And what will we be sharing tonight? What will we be talking about? We are going to be talking about love. Praise the Lord. We are going to be talking about love. And of course, you know, love is one of the greatest gifts that we've been given from the Father. Love is our life, and it is the way that we should also live with others. So a warm welcome to each and every one of you. Welcome in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And before we hop into this Bible study, let us just open up in a word of prayer. Oh Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we honor you. We thank you for this opportunity and this time to gather around your word of truth. Thank you, Father, because your word is life. You are your word. You and your word are one. And so tonight, we just thank you, Spirit of the Word, Spirit of the Living God, as we explore the word of truth tonight. Thank you that you will be present in every home. You'll be present in every office, in every car, wherever people are joining us from tonight. Thank you that the word of God will impact them. The word of God will touch them. The word of God will transform them. And the concept of the love of God, the topic of the love of God, love and walking in love, living in love with others, it will impact everyone, and their lives will never be the same again. We'll be transformed and we'll be catapulted into higher realms of your glory. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence throughout this Bible study. You are our helper. You help us to understand the scriptures. You are the one that makes the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ real to us. So we thank you for your presence in this Bible study. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we've prayed. Amen and amen. If you've just joined us, a warm welcome to you. This is our What the Word Says Bible study on our Triumph platform. And we're so, so excited to be sharing about love. Now, you know, this is the month of love, and I'm sure a lot of people probably expected us to share on romantic love, otherwise known as eros in the Greek. Or some of you expected us to share on brotherly love, which we will get into a little bit later on. It's called philia in the Greek. We will get into discussing, you know, brotherly love a little bit later on, because once you get to know the love of God, once you receive the love of God, once you accept the love of God, your love walk with others will become so much easier. It will become a joy. Your relationships with others will be so much more fulfilling as well as enjoyable. You know, we're living in a world where different types of relationships are consistently being affected because of our love walk. Whether it's marriage, whether it's parent and child relationship, or child and parent relationship, or brotherly love, friendships, community, whether it's between a boss and somebody that's working for the boss. You know, a lot of relationships get into turmoil. A lot of relationships are destroyed because people do not know the love of God. They haven't experienced the love of God, and therefore they cannot share that love with anybody else. You know, you cannot give what you don't have. If you have the love of God, you'll be able to express that love and share that love with others. But unfortunately, if that love is not resident on the inside of you, you cannot manifest that love. And at the end of the day, you might be saying, okay, but what's wrong with human love? That is exactly what is wrong with human love. It is human. It has its limitations. It has its parameters. For example, human love is conditional, but the love of God is unconditional. Praise the Lord. So before we could even explore loving ourselves, before we could even explore loving other people and walking in love with other people and loving our enemies and loving those and praying for those who despitefully use us, we would need to understand the greatest love of all, and that is the love of God, that is the love of our Father. So that is what we're going to be exploring tonight. It is the month of love, and we are kicking this month of love off in terms of our Bible studies by understanding the foundation, by understanding the principles. But you know, the love of God is the foundation for every other type of love that exists in this world. Praise the Lord. So we want to get to know this love, and of course we want to excel in this love. So let's start off with the beginning of the story of God's love. You know, how did the love of God manifest itself? And of course, when we look at the Word of God, we see that we've got different types of dispensations. We've got the Old Testament and we've also got the New Testament. So God's love for people, God's love towards people, God's love for his people in the Old Testament was called hesed. Okay, that's the Hebrew word for love in the Old Testament. It is hesed. And in some translations, it could be translated as the word mercy. It could be translated as the word loving kindness. It could also be translated as the word steadfast love. But more importantly, what exactly is the definition of hesed? And yet what the word says, we put together this amazing definition of the word hesed. And hesed essentially means love, God's love, which is affectionate and kind, unconditional and unending, faithful and unchanging, active and reliable. Wow. Wow. That is a very broad, it's a very wide definition. I'll say it to you again. Hesed, the love of God. Hesed, the Hebrew word used to describe the love of God, means affectionate and kind, unconditional and unending, faithful and unchanging, active and reliable love of God. Wow. Now you can already see just by the definition of hesed, it's very broad. It's got a lot of, you know, synonyms, if I could even call, I don't even want to use the word synonyms, but it means so many things. It covers a very large area. Already you can see how rich the love of God is, how lofty the love of God is, how high the love of God is. It is beyond our imagination. It's beyond human imagination. It's beyond the human standard of love. And I think that is completely incredible because it's unconditional. It's unending. Can you imagine human love? It's here today and gone tomorrow. It can end abruptly today. If you're not serving, you know, a particular human with what they would like, if they're tired of you, if they feel unfulfilled with you, it can end. But the love of God is unending, right? It's unconditional. No matter what you do, no matter what you have offended the Lord with, no matter the sins that you've committed, and we're going to get into that, you know, throughout this Bible study, the love of God is unconditional. But you can see that human love is conditional. It's dependent, you know, and let's move forward. I want to read a few scriptures from the Word of God so that we can see this word in action. Psalm 100, verse 5 in the NIV, it says, "For the Lord is good and his love, his hesed, endures forever. His faithfulness continues throughout all generations." Oh, hallelujah. The Lord is good and his hesed. He's affectionate and kind love. He's unconditional and unending love. He's faithful and unchanging love. He's active and reliable love, endures forever. It continues throughout all generations. How incredible is that? How incredible is the love of God? You know, so that's why we're saying before you can even successfully love yourself or successfully love any person, you would need to understand the love of God. You would need to accept the love of God, receive the love of God, and have that activated on the inside of you. Let's move to Genesis 39, verse 21 in the ESV. It says, "But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him hesed love." Hallelujah. The Lord was with Joseph and showed him affectionate and kind love, unconditional and unchanging love, unending and faithful love, active and reliable love. The Lord was with Joseph. Can you imagine the tough situation that Joseph found himself in when he was in Potiphar's house, when he was in the prison, when, you know, he was in the pit? But the Bible records that God showed him hesed love. So in your deepest, darkest moments, in the most challenging times of life, where you feel the most vulnerable, when you feel the most broken, the Lord is showing you his love. He's showing you his loving kindness, his steadfast love, his mercies that are new every morning for you. It's just a matter of you opening up your heart to receiving that love. Praise the Lord. So that was the history of the love of God in the Old Testament. The word is hesed. But when we look into the New Testament, we see that the word is the same, the meaning, the definition is the same, but now the word changes to a word that a lot of us are familiar with, agape. Agape, which is the Greek word for love, the agape love of God. When we look at the word love in the New Testament, it could be translated as agape or agapao, which would stand for loved as a past tense. But it technically means exactly the same thing. The agape love of God, the affectionate and kind love of God. God's love is affectionate. It is not cold. It is not distant. The love of God is affectionate. It's kind. It's not dependent on whether you are kind to it. It's unconditional. It's never ending. The love of God is so faithful. It's unchanging, active, and reliable. And that is something that I wanted to mention with the hesed love of God. It is not a passive word. Hesed, agape, these are not passive words. It's active. The love of God for you is active. It is reliable. The love of God is pursuing you. The love of God is chasing you down. The love of God is hunting you down. From the beginning of creation, this is the characteristic of God's love. Pursuing, pursuing, ever pursuing. Praise the Lord. So let's look at a few scriptures in the New Testament. One of the greatest scriptures, you know, when I was in Sunday school, they called this the golden verse, John 3:16. If you don't know this verse, hey, off by heart. I'm concerned. John 3 verse 16 in the KJV, it says, for God so agapowed the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God so loved that he became the Word made flesh. He went to hang on a cross. He gave his only begotten son. He gave himself in your place. He loves you so much that he gave himself. And not only did he give himself in your place, he died. That's how much God loves you. That's affectionate. That's kind. That's faithful. That's unconditional. That's unending, unchanging, active and reliable love of God. For God so loved the world. He's so agapowed. You need to understand that the cross, the death of the cross was not a simple death. It was not a quick death. it was not, you know, one of those executions that you get a lethal injection or, you know, you can get shot and it takes really quick for you to die. This was the death of the cross. It was an ordeal. It was an emotional, it was a mental, it was a physical, it was a spiritual ordeal. You know, sometimes when I go and read the messianic prophecies in the book of Psalms, in the book of Isaiah, in the Old Testament, where you really get a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ's mental state. You know, those books really give us insight into the Lord's inner thoughts around the time of the crucifixion. And you can see he explains the anguish, the heartbreak, the disappointment that he is feeling during, you know, the time on the cross. Because the New Testament does not really give us a lot of what the Lord is thinking. But if you go to those messianic prophecies, you start to get an idea of what the Lord was going through on the inside. He faced that emotional trauma. He faced that physical trauma, the betrayal, the embarrassment. People spitting on his face. It says, for God so loved the world. He sacrificed himself for you and me. He took a bullet for us. That's how much he loved us. And guess what? Man, at the time, the people who were, you know, living during that time, who were persecuting the Lord Jesus, who were betraying the Lord Jesus, his friends, his disciples, walking away from him. He died for those people. And we are even included in those people because, you know, we were the sons of Adam. And we had the nature of sin the same way those people. We crucified the Lord Jesus. We crucified the Lord Jesus. And he loved us. He gave himself, even though that was the attitude of the people. That is the agape love of God. You see, do you see how large that love is? How lofty the love is? How lavish that love is? Giving yourself, knowing that people are not even appreciating what you're doing and they're not accepting this gift of substitution, of taking their place. Ephesians 2, 4 to 5 in the NIV, it says, but because of his great love, his great agape for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace that we are saved. But because of his great agape, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive. You know, brothers and sisters, we were dead in our trespasses. We were dead in our sins because of the nature of sin. Because of Adam's transgressions, we were dead. But God, in his infinite mercy, he made us alive. He made us alive with Christ. He didn't have to. This is just to give you an idea, a history of the love of God. And where that love, you know, has come from. Romans 5 verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He gave himself for us, you know, when we were sinners. We were not even in any condition to be recipients of the love of God. We were still sinners. He didn't wait and say, no, I'm going to wait for them to get their act together, to get their behavior together. I can't stand, you know, I'm so holy. I can't stand the sin of man. And therefore, you know, No, he died for us. Hallelujah. And proved his own love by the fact that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. This is the hesed of God. This is the agape of God. Hallelujah. And that's why I said right at the beginning of this Bible study broadcast, said before we could even love ourselves, before we could even love our neighbor, love anybody, our spouse, our parents, our family members, our church, our colleagues, we would need to grasp And we would need to understand this great love of God. The love of God is the greatest thing. It is the greatest thing. God loves the world. God loves the people of the world. God loves his children. You know, he loved us so much that even if you are the only one, God would still send the Lord Jesus Christ to die for you. God loves the world of people. John 3:16 says, "For God so loves the world." It doesn't even say, "For God so loves the Christians." "For God so loves the upright." "God so loves the goody-goodies." "For God so loves the world of people." The agape love of God is great. It is lofty. It is lavish. It is infinite. And the love of God will transform your life, will transform your experience of life. The love of God is something that you can know with your mind, because maybe as you're growing up, they told you about the love of God. And so you heard about the love of God. You could have read about the love of God. But let me tell you that every human being that comes into this world is born with a desire for the love of God. Every human being that is born with a God-sized hole. And it's only the love of God that can fill that hole. It is only the love of God that can satisfy our hearts. It is only the love of God that can fill our hearts, fill our emotions. So many people are out there in the world, even in this month of love, looking for love all over. Looking for love in relationships, looking for love in accomplishments, looking for love in material possessions, looking for love in the empty things of this world. But for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God's love is what fills the human soul. God's love is what satisfies the human soul. And so I will tell you that even though you've heard about the love of God, even though you've seen the love of God, you've read about the love of God, the love of God is an experience that will transform and alter your life and alter your destiny. It is something that you have to experience. Let me tell you something. You know, I've always heard about the love of God. I understood it theoretically, you know, but there was an experience in my life that I was just going through a lot of rejection. I was going through a lot of betrayal. I was going through a lot of isolation, feeling isolated. And on this one occasion, people that were really, really close to me, and when I say really, really close, I mean the people who birthed me. You understand what I mean? And I love them. You know, they were probably going through their own issues at that time. But during this time of immense pressure for me, where I felt so unloved, I felt a lot of rejection. I felt like I was underperforming. I felt like it's just everything was wrong with me. And every day I was in trouble. Every day there was a challenge, you know, from their side. And I remember being in my prayer room and telling the Lord, you know, Father, I feel as if I've reached the lowest of low. There's no lower than this. I feel so rejected. I feel so unloved. And it was a real feeling. I was overwhelmed with those feelings. And I was telling the Lord that, you know, it's fine if it came from people on the outside, but it came from people that were really, really close to me. And I was just like, I've reached the lowest that I know that I can reach. I feel unloved and I feel unworthy. And let me tell you something, brothers and sisters, in that moment, the love of God came and it filled up my heart. It filled up my heart. The love of God enveloped me. The love of God overwhelmed me. The love of God, it's as if it almost knocked me over. You know, in the sense of like in spiritual terms. And the love of God filled me up so much, such that it made experiences of human love and human validation and human acceptance feel so low. Not that I don't appreciate people's love, or, but in that moment, there was nothing more grander, more lavish, more loving, more excellent that I had experienced. The love of God. I experienced it. It was a real thing. It was a reality. That love, it came and lifted me and set me on my feet. That love lifted my head. It gave me confidence. And from that day, I knew that it didn't matter if anybody would ever love me, accept me. It didn't matter. As long as there's this love that I'd experienced, this supernatural love, there's no human love that can compare to the love of God. And that is why I'm saying that the love of God is an experience and it will transform you. And guess what? You can only love others the way that God wants you to love others when that love has located you, when that love has filled you. Do you understand? Otherwise, you're using human love. You're using human love to love yourself. You're always going to feel as if you come short in your eyes. You're using human love to love others. And it's not the greatest. Praise the Lord. So it is an experience. And guess what? God expects you to grow in His love. You understand? There are dimensions to God's love. I'll read to you from Ephesians 3, 18 to 20 in the KJV. It says, that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. You can grow in the love of God. It is about comprehending this love. There's a depth to God's love. There's a breadth, there's a length, there's a height. It's so lofty, it's so lavish. You can never get to the end of knowing God's love, to the end of experiencing God's love, to the end of demonstrating and manifesting the love of God. Someone would say, okay, how does somebody forgive a murderer? Someone that murdered their family member, you see those testimonies. That is the love of God. That's the height, the depth. That's how deep God's love goes. Do you think you can forgive somebody if you do not have the love of God, somebody that murdered your family member? It's not possible. Therefore, you need to be filled with the love of God. You need to be inundated with the love of God, because the purpose of the Christian life is not only for us to get born again. The purpose of the Christian life is not only for us to receive salvation and go to heaven one day. No, the purpose of the Christian life is to become more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ every day. The purpose of the Christian life is to display, is to manifest the virtues, the excellencies of the Lord. And you cannot do that if His love is not inundating every part of you. Praise God. John 15, 9 to 13 in the NIV says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. Hallelujah. This is the Lord Jesus. He's saying, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Brothers and sisters, you are loved. It doesn't matter if your parents did not love you. It doesn't matter if that man or that woman never loved you. It doesn't matter if nobody ever said they loved you or demonstrated their love to you. This is the Lord Jesus saying, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. This is the creator of the universe. Oh my, which other love do you want? I'm not saying human love is not important. I'm not saying the love of people is not, but this is the creator of the universe, the God, the most glorious monarch of the universe, saying to you, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Listen, I accept this love wholeheartedly. Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the King of Kings that is seated at the right hand of the Father, is saying that He loves this woman? Oh, hey, just the thought, to bask in the thought, to lavish in the thought. It will make you so secure. It will make you deeply rooted and securely grounded in this love. It says, now remain in my love. Oh, hallelujah. The Lord Jesus is saying to you, remain in my love. You can't become a Christian and you experience, you know, the love of God, and there's still more depths to the love that you need to experience. And then you're like, boom, I'm saved. I'm going back outside. I'm going to be going back to my unforgiveness, my bitterness. I'm going to be going back to my nasty behavior. No, remain in my love. Remain in my love. This is a activity for you. You know, when we read the Word of God, we always need to see what has God done and then what do we need to do. It's an instruction. Now remain in my love. If you see yourself migrating out of the love of God, moving out of the love of God, you remind yourself, you say, no, these things that I'm doing right now, participating in, it is not the characteristics of the love of God. We explored those characteristics of the love of God: active, reliable, faithful, unchanging, unending, unconditional, active, reliable. Those are the characteristics of the love of God. You see yourself migrating out of that, you come back, because God's word says, remain in my love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. This is the Lord Jesus, the red letters. My command is, love each other as I have loved you. Because greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Wow. How has the Lord loved us? How has the Lord loved us? He was there hanging on the cross, dying in excruciating pain, going through the mental, the emotional, the spiritual, the physical pains. Yet people were spitting on his face. Yet people were mocking him. Yet people were walking away from him, betraying him, persecuting him. And he's telling us, love each other as I have loved you. That is how the Lord Jesus Christ loved us. He loved people who were unappreciative of his sacrifice. He loved people that were persecuting him whilst he was trying to save them. So he's instructing us to love other people the way he loved us, not the way we choose to love people. We only choose to love people because it's conditional when they do something that we like. We only choose to love people when they choose, you know, when they are in line with our choices, our beliefs. You only love people and you're like, oh, this person is, you know, on my standard of life, my standard of living. They're not below my standard. I love this person because they're rubbing shoulders with the who's who in the upper echelon of society. I love this person because they are, you know, they are religious like the rest of us. They're so holy, you know. That is just so religious. That is so fake. That is so human. This love that the Lord Jesus is commanding us to love other people with is supernatural love. It takes you to reach a supernatural level in the love of God. For you to display this kind of love to people. Love each other as I have loved you. He loved us whilst we were in sin. Do you love people whilst they are still in sin? Do you love people whilst they are still growing? Whilst they are on their journey, or does it irritate you? Does it annoy you? Imagine the Lord Jesus on the cross and he's like, if he was impatient. These people are so immature. These people are so wicked. I'm not going to do this sacrifice. I'm not going to die for them. No. He loved us when we were dead in our sin. Praise the Lord. Greater love has no one than this, and to lay down his life for his friends. Okay, so that was us just going through the love of God. Okay, we've explored the love of God, the Hesed love of God in the Old Testament, the Agape love of God, the characteristics of that love, what that love looks like, and that love is an experience. I want to encourage each and every one of you to open up your heart to experiencing the love of God. Why? Because the love of God is there. I've read the characteristics to you. It's active, it's reliable, it's ever pursuing. It's not passive. But a lot of you know what it's like to be pursued by somebody who loves you, somebody who wants to express their love to you, friend, someone that wants to become your friend. And then you know what it's like to ghost the person. You know what it's like to cancel the person. You know what it's like to not open up your heart. So if you want to experience the love of God, it's there, it's waiting for you. You have to open up your heart. You have to communicate to the Lord that you want to receive this love. Praise God. And as you open up your heart, you know, the Bible says, call upon the name of the Lord and you shall be saved. Praise the Lord. Call upon the name of the Lord when you want to experience that love, when you've been brokenhearted, when you've been disappointed. You know, when you can be honest with the Lord, He loves. That's part of love. Love is intimacy. Love is honesty. Love is being real. It's not even putting up a facade. It's saying like, this was really tough. I want to experience your love. Help me to move past these challenges. Help me to overcome, etc., etc. Okay, so that is the love of God. That is the love of God. And I want to right now just give anybody a chance who says, listen, I want to experience the love of God. I want to experience the love of God. You know, experiencing the love of God starts with receiving the Lord Jesus Christ, because He is the demonstration of the Father's love to us. So to receive the love of God, first and foremost, you need to receive Jesus. So I'm going to pray for every single person right now that says, you know what? I want to be born again. I want to receive the love of God. I want to experience the love of God. I want to be a recipient of the love of God. I want you to mean this prayer with your heart. I'm going to lead you in a prayer to receive the love of God, to receive Jesus. You've got to mean this prayer with all of your heart, and you've got to say it with your mouth, okay? Because right now you're going to be receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. So you can repeat after me. Say, Father, I come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your word says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I ask Jesus to come into my heart and to be the Lord of my life. From today, I am born again because I believe that Jesus Christ died and that He was raised to life by the Father. I receive eternal life into my spirit, into my soul, and into my body. I am born again now. I am a child of God now. I also receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to come and live on the inside of me, my helper that the Lord Jesus promised would never leave nor forsake me. I receive you now, Holy Spirit, and the gift and ability to speak in new tongues in the name of Jesus Christ. Okay, so if you've just gotten born again, congratulations. And if you just prayed that prayer to receive the Holy Spirit, congratulations, because that is what we're going to need to move on in this Bible study, okay? Because the Holy Spirit is going to help us to make the love of God a real experience in our life. So, you know, when you receive the Holy Spirit, some of the characteristics of receiving the Holy Spirit is speaking in other tongues. Tongues is a language of the Spirit. These are the characteristics that the Lord Jesus Christ said would follow those who believe in Him. He said they will speak with new tongues. Praise the Lord. So when you receive the Holy Spirit, you are now filled with the Holy Spirit. And when you speak in other tongues, that is the language of the Spirit, the language of the Holy Spirit, that you can now communicate with Him. You communicate to God and you communicate to angels when you speak in other tongues. right? And it also helps you to activate the power of the Holy Spirit. It also helps you to activate the love of God. So we're just going to speak in tongues just for a few minutes. For those of you that just received the Holy Spirit, for those of you, you know, that you've been with the Holy Spirit, we can just speak in other tongues right now. Let us pray in other tongues. Sora she de 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 Zaka de 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 Mandale koza pare de 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 Zataba de 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 Rataba de 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 Zika de 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 de. In the name of the Lord Yeshua Mashiach of Nazareth, Pali Grodoshka, Zika de 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 de. O Kaya Baba Baba Ba, Rataba de 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 de. Just open your mouth, Raka Baba Baba Baba, Zika de 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 de. Even if it comes out as short syllables, just open your mouth, Makaliko Uzaka Zika, Raka Baba Baba, Re de be de be de 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 de. O Holy Spirit. Oh, Holy Spirit, even right now, I pray that the love of God will fill every person's heart, experiences of the love of God. Everybody praying, everybody on the broadcast right now, they experience your love. They experience the lavish love of the Father. They experience your healing in their hearts. They experience your presence that is even with me in this room right now. Oh, the presence of the Lord Yeshua. Oh, Yeshua, Yeshua, that you would manifest yourself to your people, that they would experience your love, satisfy their hearts, satisfy our hearts with your love. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, 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 amen.